Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Back on Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGNR. The Cook County Jail is holding, I don't know, last count, about 750 inmates that need to go to state prisons. And Sheriff Dart says it's time they went. He joins us on a phone line now. Sheriff, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so explain this for me. The idea was during the pandemic that they didn't want a lot of prisoners in and out of state prisons, so a lot of inmates who may well have been sent to state facilities were being held at county jails around the state, correct?
Yeah, and from the outset, Steve, none of it made any sense. I mean, it wasn't based on any science. I mean, you think about it, Steve. So say, for example, you're saying the science says, you know, we need social distance and so on. I understand that better than anybody. We started doing it before everybody else. But it doesn't say just do one social distance. It'd be like in an apartment complex, just socially distance in one apartment. But the rest of them, you guys all hang out, come out and do whatever you want. This is all one continuous system here. And so if you are not allowing people to go into the prison system, they're backing up at other locations because they've been sentenced to a term, so they can't go anywhere. It's not like you can release them to the street and say, when the prisons are open, you need to go show up over there. In the meantime, go home and, you know, hang out. So we end up being backed up. And so think about that, how none of the science works on any of that. That's like saying, okay, we're going to keep the prison system socially distanced, but you jails all around the state, you're all going to be crammed because we're going to make sure that you're sitting on all these people. And that's what's happened. And it's made it impossible for many people. We've been able to do it because I had all these buildings were closed down. I was able to open them. But it's been not just expensive on the dollar sign, which we've gotten reimbursed most of it, but on the toll on the staff, because I've had to use overtime extensively because I didn't have the people to run those buildings. And so I had to bring people in to open the buildings that were closed so they can socially distance people. And every time we've reached out to the state to say, please, can we have a reasonable conversation? We get no response whatsoever.
So how many are you holding now that should be in state prisons?
It's a little under 750, which, to put in perspective, is about 15% of my population, which also, to put in perspective, I could shut down my largest division right this moment if those 750 people were to leave.
Wow. And you would like to ship them off in three groups over the next couple of months? Is that what I read?
Yeah. You know, Steve, I'm trying to come up with any formula that they'll light into, because honestly, I've had much more thoughtful conversations with my sixth grader than I've had with them. It's just, none of this makes any sense. As I said, that it fails on the science. You know, they'll say, well, the science says socially distance. It's like, oh, no, really? No kidding. I've only been doing it longer than you. I've been testing longer than you. I've been using masks longer than you. I know all that stuff. But it doesn't work when you're saying, use the science for us, but for you counties, you guys just sort of wing whatever you can do. And we know we're exacerbating your problem because you're sitting on all these bodies, but you guys just figure it out.
Sheriff, who are you calling out here? Rob Jeffries, the acting corrections director?
That's who we've been reaching out to, but we've also reached out to the governor's office, too, and say, please, come on, this is over a year. When this first hit, too, Steve, just to put it in perspective once again, they called us up on the phone and said, hey, listen, guys, we're having a problem here. Do you mind holding your shipments for a few days? And I said, no, we can hold them for over a week. We're here to help. We're all in this thing together. This isn't one person on their own. But yet, when the shoe's on the other foot, it's like, no, and they come up with this obtuse formula to accept people, and we comply with all of it, and they still won't take them.
So there's nothing you can do, really, right? You're not going to release them pending an opening in the state prison. You're just kind of stuck.
Absolutely. I mean, Steve, literally, you know, sometimes there's multiple sides to an issue. I challenge someone to find another side to this issue. By state law, those people are all supposed to be in the prison system, but they shut their doors. That'd be no different than if I shut the jail doors and told Chicago Police Department, all the rest of the local town, say, hey, listen, we're having a COVID outbreak, you know, back a year and a half ago. So we're shut the door. You just keep all these people handcuffed in your lockups. And we're like, well, no, of course you can't do that.
You've been reimbursed by and large, but those are federal dollars, right? So
correct.
Is the state saving money on this?
tremendous amounts of money because these are state responsibilities. They're supposed to be paying for that. Instead, the federal government has stepped in, and that's where, when people have been talking about, well, you know, all those reimbursement money going to the sheriff's office, that's where it's all gone to, to cover, to allow me to social distance these people that I'm not supposed to have and keep everyone separate from each other. And so it's just, it's taken an untenable position and made it even harder. And the fact that we literally get no response, it does not help.
Yeah, well, trust me, the press office doesn't respond to many people, certainly not me. It's I've never, you know, Tom, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I've never been so blown off by a governor's press office before.
This is stunning. Honest to God, Steve, if it wasn't for the fact that, I mean, literally, we started with just, on just a leap of faith, saying, "Hey guys, you're having problems. We'll hang on to people. Give it a week or two. We'll figure a way to make it do." That's how you operate with people. It's like we're all in this thing together. But then when they closed the prison doors, they literally gave us 24 hours notice, and it wasn't like, "Hey, what do you guys think, or what should we do?" They just literally called and said, "Listen, it's shut down."
Have you heard?
You got to be kidding me! And then when we went to court and sued them, we won at the trial level, we lost at the appellate level. Then they put this literally this obtuse method where they would accept some people. Well, we've complied. They said, "Well, you have to test people." We did that. You have to quarantine before you ship them. We did that. But now they only take 10 here. 10 this week, 20 this week. And in the meantime, 20 new people came into my custody. And majority of them, Steve, to perspective, aren't necessarily all people being sentenced to IDOC. When someone's on parole and they pick up a new case, which happens sometimes frequently, there's a parole hold. So the state puts a hold on them saying, okay, he's violated his parole. He needs to come back to prison now. Well, they won't take him. So I'm hanging on to somebody who most likely would probably get a bond to go out. Well, they have a parole hold on him, so I'm sitting on him, and he's supposed to be down in their prison system too. So it's hidden it everywhere. But the big thing is on my staff. I mean, we have to require people to do overtime. So it's not as if I have all these folks lining up. I want more overtime. No, we're having to go up to someone who's about to leave for the day and say, "Listen, you got to do another shift," and that's horrible. Horrible.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. I'll tell you what. Let's make a deal. If I hear from them, I'll call you. If you hear from them, just drop the dime and give me a call.
I promise.
Nice to talk to you again, Sheriff.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the afternoon news. Here's Mary with a look at the weather and traffic.